Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
When we're in trouble, do you call a really nice attorney or a good attorney? When the chips are down, who do you call? I guarantee most people call someone who isn't nice all the time. Nice people don't possess power. Nice people actually get rid of their power, because with power comes responsibility, and with power comes inevitable conflict. They have no interest in that.
That's keen insight from author and speaker Paul Coughlin. And today on the Homeward broadcast, you're going to hear part two of Dr. Jim Burns' conversation with Paul as we discuss the dangers of being a Christian nice guy. Welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns from the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, where I'm telling you, everybody rides a skateboard to class because the weather's so nice. Just a great student body environment at APU, and you can take classes online or on campus. And if you want to learn more, go to homeward.com, our newly revamped website. The banner you'll see at the top says the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University, and you can click through and find out more about the school. Today, though, we are going to find out more about the dangers of being a Christian nice guy. This is kind of the conclusion of a four-part conversation that we've been having with Paul Coughlin, author of No More Christian Nice Guy, and Dr. Jennifer Degler, co-author of the book with Paul, No More Christian Nice Girl. Remember, if you miss any part of any of these programs, we're always streaming audio at homeward.com. And now, here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. A continuing conversation today with Paul Coughlin, the dangers of becoming a Christian nice guy. I love Paul Coughlin, and I actually love the book we're talking about, No More Christian Nice Guy. He's a popular radio host, internationally recognized speaker, been featured on great programs like Good Morning America, CNN, Focus on the Family, and Homeward, Roger. So here he is, the author of a number of best-selling books, Unleashing Courageous Faith, Married But Not Engaged. He co-wrote with his wife No More Christian Nice Girl as well. But again, today we're talking about what I see as just a great message and a great conversation, the dangers of becoming a Christian nice guy. Paul makes his home in Oregon with his wife, Sandy, and their three children. Paul, welcome back to the broadcast.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
As you know, I love having conversations with you, and your book is just excellent when it comes to having us kind of think through this piece. No More Christian Nice Guy. I mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast last time that, you know, I sometimes am called nice, and yet you're saying that's not always the best way to be described. When I think of the word nice, I think of the word passive sometimes.
Mm, yeah.
And I don't want to be a passive person, yet I don't want to be aggressive either. And there's a quote in your book where you said, we don't respect passive people any more than we like aggressive people, but the goal is to be assertive. Help us understand the difference.
Yeah, you know, and one of the greatest examples we can use is the original American Idol, where you had the original three guests, and it wasn't an accident because they represented the three basic personality types. You have Paula Abdul, God bless her little four-foot soul. She was gracious, but she wasn't truthful. She would say, I was a great singer, and everyone knows that wouldn't be true. So she was great. She didn't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but right. In doing so, she didn't tell the truth. Paula lied sometimes in order to be kind. And then you have Simon Cowell. And what's interesting, by the way, is they all kind of, they seem to get better. Cowell seemed to get a little nicer, and Paula seemed to get a little more assertive as the years went on. But Simon Cowell, great example of being aggressive. Aggressive people are often truthful, but they're not gracious.
I called him brutal.
Yeah, he's
Roger
brutal.
Is the voice here on American Idol, as we tell our listeners sometimes, and I always tell him that I don't like the aggressiveness or the brutalness of good old Simon.
Yeah, yeah, and who did? And, you know, unfortunately, it made for a good television and a culture that's gotten increasingly uncivil toward one another. But so he was truthful. I mean, often what he said was really true, but how he said it was awful. Being truthful without being gracious is like performing surgery without anesthesia. It gets the job done, but it causes unnecessary suffering. Simon may be responsible for half of America going into counseling. I'm not exactly sure.
That may be good, actually.
Yeah, that could be good. And then in the middle, so you've got the passive personality and you've got the aggressive personality, and then you've got the guy in the middle, Randy Jackson, where, and again, no one does this perfectly all the time, but if you watched it through the years, you would see that Randy Jackson was capable of speaking the truth and being gracious and pretty loving sometimes. He would say, you know what, you did some good stuff here, but boy, I sure lost it here, and this didn't make sense. So he gave the kind of feedback that people want. And keep in mind that Randy got booed as well. If you want to be an assertive person, if you want to speak the truth in love, know you are going to make enemies. You're going to have people that are not going to be happy with you. Jesus said, pray for your enemies. He never said you couldn't have any. And also, why would he say to pray for something if he didn't think it was going to come into your life? If we're doing our part for the kingdom of heaven, we are going to upset certain people. Paul said, to the best of your ability, make peace with one another. We all know after a while as adults, you can't make peace with everyone, especially if you're going to move in a very redemptive direction, because eventually, when you move in a redemptive direction, you're going to offend someone. You're going to call someone out in the carpet and say, you know what, you're not telling the truth here. You may make an enemy, but that is the consequences of an assertive lifestyle. And by the way, we make plenty of enemies when we're passive. We passive people make awful friends. When the going gets tough, you never hear from them because they can't take conflict. They don't know how to handle it, and they run for the hills.
Yeah, it's fascinating. You know, I underlined something you said in your book where good people are both gentle and rough depending on the circumstance.
And that's what we see in
Jesus.
That's
healthy, isn't it?
Well, that's what we see in the real life of Christ. Yes, it's very the best. When we're in trouble, do you call a really nice attorney or a good attorney? When the chips are down, who do you call? I guarantee most people call someone who isn't nice all the time. Nice people don't possess power. Nice people actually get rid of their power, because with power comes responsibility, and with power comes inevitable conflict. They have no interest in that. In fact, mostly in church, there's been this 25-year-long study that showed that 61% of the U.S. population is pretty much passive. Well, that number jumps up to a whopping 85% of people who attend church. There is something about church that attracts the passive personality. And I think that's great, because broken people need to come to a hospital. I mean, I think church should largely be like a hospital. It's where sick people come for healing, they grow in strength, and then they spread that strength to other people. Unfortunately, we kind of think church should be like a nursery. The alleviation of all discomfort through extreme means sometimes. That's not what God had in mind. Churches are not designed to be nurseries. They're designed to be hospitals. And sometimes in a hospital, that doctor will actually put you in pain so you can get to healing on the other side.
Boy,
and church can be the same way.
That's a great comment. You know, I say to people, sometimes I'll say, you know, before freedom comes pain.
Yeah.
And yet a lot of times we don't want to go through the pain. Great, great input. Paul Cochran with us today. We're talking about the dangers of becoming a Christian nice guy. You know, Paul, when we think about the word nice guy, sometimes people who are nice in the way that you're talking about, not in a healthy way, they struggle with emotional intimacy and physical intimacy. Mm-hmm. You think so?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was one of those people. Again, I feared emotions. I was nice, not because I was virtuous, but because I lacked virtue, and that virtue was courage. I would often fall on the cowardice side of things, thinking that I was being kind to other people and myself, when in reality, I was just telling very fancy lies to other people. I wanted things to be nice. My niceness was designed as kind of a force field, and in doing so, if I could just regulate the behavior of other people, I could stop, or at least I thought I could, stop painful feelings coming my direction. Given somewhat of a difficult upbringing when I was a kid, I had a parent who was pretty abusive, and so I went into life with this really naive approach and also cruel. I wouldn't allow other people to have their emotions. I would try to take them away from them before they made me uncomfortable. Didn't know I was doing it until someone pointed it out.
You know, so we're uncomfortable with emotional intimacy, and we don't have much time left before the break. But you also say that a lot of times as Christians, we struggle with physical intimacy. The Bible, you say, celebrates sex within the context of wedded bliss, you said. But you wouldn't know it from the typical church service or even an hour of Christian radio. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, I honestly think that for many of us, when we go to church, it's really a flee to safety. I think it, many times it's really not about being conformed to the image of Christ. It's about there's a big bad world out there, and I don't really want to be part of it, to tell you the truth. So if I can flee to this subculture, this evangelical subculture, and walk away from all that ugliness and that messiness, then my life is going to be better. But you know what? That's a Faustian bargain, because you're going to win that battle, but you're going to lose that war. The fact is, we don't really gain great intimacy with other people unless things are messy, unless there is conflict. Again, we have this thought, and I think it's more wishful thinking than anything else, that the greatest marriages are the marriages where people never disagree and never argue. It's been proven many times that the best, most intimate marriages are ones where there is conflict, and people learn how to fight like Christians, which is to speak the truth and love to one another. And then on the other side of that conflict comes incredible, incredible intimacy. I'm pretty sure that was where Barry White wrote most of his songs, was on the other side of that conflict.
Our guys, Ben, our sound engineer, is loving that because he is such the musician. Listen, we're going to be right back. Great conversation today. Paul Cochlin with us, The Dangers of Becoming a Christian Nice Guy. By the way, great book. I highly recommend it. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Burns. More to come. Roger?
Well, I'm trying to get my Barry White voice together here. Where else are you going to hear a reference to Barry White but on the Homeward broadcast, right? But today, good conversation with Dr. Jim Burns, of course, and our special in-studio guest, Paul Cochlin. We're talking about the dangers of being a Christian nice guy. These are principles that Paul writes about in his now kind of landmark work called No More Christian Nice Guy. That was the first book that Paul wrote and kind of got this whole ball rolling for him and really made a lot of us in ministry think about the difference between being a nice guy and being a good guy. And God's calling us to be more good than nice. More from Jim and Paul on the other side of this break. Homeward here to equip you with the resources that you need to become a good parent, not just a nice parent. Because we aren't trying to raise nice kids, we're trying to raise responsible adults. Get in touch with our Homeward Good Advice Parent newsletter. It's absolutely free. Comes out once a month at homeward.com. Also, our daily online devotional, Nugget of Encouragement from God's Word, courtesy of Dr. Jim Burns and the staff at Homeward, delivered every weekday to your email address. When you go to homeward.com, you can sign up today to start receiving that.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
I can't believe we're finally going to add on to this old house.
Does that mean I finally get my own room?
It sure does, sweetie. We're going to add another bathroom and a bonus room, too.
Are we going to add a safe room?
A safe room?
Yeah, it's like a room that's sort of hidden away, so if anyone breaks into the house, we'll have a safe place to hide.
Kaylee, we live in a very safe neighborhood. What would make you think we'd even need a safe room?
It's no secret that kids don't feel particularly safe these days. They see violence everywhere, unfortunately, including their own schools and sometimes their own playgrounds. As a parent, you can give your children the security of what it means to be a Christ follower in the middle of a violent society. Let your kids see your faith in action. Pray the words of Jesus, recorded in Matthew 6:10, that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And for a free copy of my tip sheet called Helping Your Kids Feel Safe in a Violent World, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Great conversation today. Paul Cochlin is with us. We're talking about the dangers of becoming a Christian nice guy. And if you've just joined us, look at this. Being a Christian nice guy could get you in big trouble in your marriage, in your life, actually in your faith in Jesus Christ. The book is called No More Christian Nice Guy. Roger's just told you about it. We'll tell you about it again. Somehow, we have mistaken niceness for righteousness. Nice just can't confront this world's sources of pain. Niceness makes people agreeable, but not good. Paul, we were just talking about physical intimacy, emotional intimacy, Help us understand how intimacy with God and sexual intimacy with our spouses take us out of nice land, which is all about comfort and concealment.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The fact is, intimacy is risky. You put something on the line, it requires courage, it requires some backbone, it requires some will. And nice just isn't built for that. Nice is about comfort. Nice is my life, when I wanted a nice life, it was largely dictated by fear. Fear had me always taking the comfortable route, the safe route home, so to speak, to the quote, oh, I messed up. I was thinking about Supertramp. Oh, the long way home? Was that the... So nice has us taking the real safe route through life, and again, it's winning the battle, but unfortunately losing the war. You know, be very careful for the type of things you hope for, because you just might get them. Because when you get that nice life, it just doesn't lead to connection to other people. It certainly doesn't lead to connection to God. We just don't grow in very nice settings. We tend to grow in the more difficult settings. I mean, people change usually by inspiration or desperation.
Right.
And 90-something percent of the time, unfortunately, it is it's desperation. C.S. Lewis argued that pain was God's megaphone to rouse a slumbering world. And oftentimes, you look at our own lives, you look at other people's lives, and they'll tell you that it was the painful events that brought them the greatest growth and the greatest connection to other people.
You know, it's interesting. I made a quote. It wasn't my quote. I put it in my book, Creating an Intimate Marriage. And it said, when the pain of remaining the same is greater than the pain of changing, you will change. And people have resonated with that.
Yeah.
So we resonate with pain, and yet we want to be nice. Now, you talk about a guy named Fred Rogers. It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood guy. And, you know, he seems to be the nicest guy on television. But you say he wasn't a Christian nice guy after all.
No, I mean, Fred Rogers, think about how lampooned he was. People made fun of him constantly. Saturday Night Live, you name it, people just went after him. A Christian nice guy would not have been able to stand in the presence of that criticism. They would have buckled. You look at the life of Fred Rogers, and others have written about him. I believe his wife wrote a wonderful book about him. And you see how he worked diligently, regularly, if not daily, to get behind the eyes of the children out there that he knew were not being loved. He knew it. So he wanted to take his message of love and boil it down to its essence and its core. And as a writer, if you want to boil something down to its essence, it's really difficult to do. It's like writing poetry. I think it's the hardest of all forms of writing, songwriting as well. Well, that's what this guy did for decades in the service of love. If he was a nice guy, he just would have taken the easy route through life, and he wouldn't have cared so much. But yeah, there was more backbone to Fred Rogers than met the eye. And you know, I, as a kid, a troubled kid in Southern California, I grew up in Reseda, California in the 70s. I had difficulties. I had some pain, and Fred Rogers was one of those people that made you feel that life was worth living.
Isn't that something? It's I'd never thought about that before until I read it in your book. Conflict. You know, conflict in the workplace, conflict with your spouse, it's inevitable, but many Christian nice guys do all they can to avoid it. So I want you to respond to this quote. By hiding from conflict, Christian nice guys break their sacred vows before God. Wow. You were strong on that.
Well, you're not being truthful. You're just not being honest. And you're not. When can you actually lead a group of people without having inevitable conflict? There are ways to do it. You just brush it all under the carpet. I have an older sibling, an older brother, and, you know, I needed someone in the family to stand up and defend me in that situation. It just didn't happen. And I speak for a lot of younger brothers whose older brother picked on him because they could. And as a result, there's great devastation on the other side of that. So if you think you're going to run a family, you think you're going to be in a marriage, and there's not going to be conflict, we're really, really just fooling ourselves. Someone's not alive. You know, there's the expression, not making waves is the state of a person's life just before they drown. We all make waves. The question is, what shape is it, and in what direction does it go? Is it a redemptive wave that ripples through life? Look at the people who have changed history. Solzhenitsyn, or you look at Mother Teresa, Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, Pope John Paul II. I mean, the list goes on and on. These people of fantastic faith. These were people who gave the world vitamin N. They said no to things. The world has been made better because of it. It's the people who say no, and they say it with force, and they say it with love and conviction. These are the people that we remember. These are the people we have holidays about, and those are the people we go to when life is difficult. And it's one of the reasons why Jesus is the most captivating character throughout history, because he said no to a lot of things. Unfortunately, contemporary evangelical culture has largely jettisoned that portion of his character, and we wonder why the church isn't growing.
Wow, that's great input. You know, Roger, there are times when I want to underline on the radio, and you can't do that. That was profound. We've been talking, you know, probably more about what masculinity is not. How would you define masculinity?
It's a great question. In fact, Nightline asked me that. And at first, I was a little tired. I was a bit, I stumbled over it, unfortunately, when they asked me that question. I think masculinity, in its most noble expression, is love bolstered by courage. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest expression of love? He did not say to give your wife 12 long-stem roses on Mother's Day or your anniversary. He didn't say that. He didn't give us a sentimental example of love. He said the greatest expression of love is for a friend to give his life for another. Now, of course, he is foreshadowing his own death. There's no doubt about that. But he told us something remarkable, that the greatest expression of love is more Marines than Mother's Day. It's not sentimental. That's really a tough thing to do, to give your life for another person. So, and that takes a lot of courage. I would argue that Jesus's answer is a more masculine understanding of love than a feminine understanding of love.
Let me push you on it for a minute, because I'm thinking, if you're going to give your life for someone, sometimes people will look at that as a doormat. Well, I'm going to serve my wife. I'm going to serve my husband in these ways, and I'll just kind of roll over and be a doormat. But you're not saying that.
No. I mean, I think he's probably being literal in that sense, where he's probably talking about one's own death for other people. That, you know, those are the type of things in movies that we weep over when we see people in the military, for example, giving their lives for others. I mean, that's a very, very masculine expression of love. And that's the type of expression, by the way, this heroic instinct that I think boys grow up with more than girls. You ask a small boy what he wants to be when he grows up, it's almost always a martial occupation. Firefighter, police officer, he wants to be in the army or some degree or form. You don't get those answers from little girls as you know, teacher or nursing, something that falls more on the more nurturing side of life. Still profoundly helpful and courageous in its own way, no doubt about that. But it's not the same. It's not the same.
Paul, we don't have much time left, but as you moved away from being, you know, what you call the Christian nice guy, you noticed a real turning point when you discovered, and you said this from your book, my goal wasn't living and loving, it was comfort and control. I want you to take the final moments of our time, you know, to talk about how other Christian nice guys can start to make that same transition that you once did.
Well, you need to see the role of emotions. I used to really, really underplay emotions, and in doing so, you rob yourself of power and energy. You just rob yourself of wattage. I was kind of like one of those 20-watt bulbs in a very large room. I mean, you kind of see, but you know, not like what you saw with other men. And you would see a lot more energy coming out of those guys, and with that energy, a lot more redemption. And I found that they didn't fear their emotions. So once I took a stronger look at emotions and realized, wow, not only are these things not to be feared, they're actually an engine in life. They're one of the many pistons in life that get that car moving forward. And as a result, I was far more comfortable in my own skin. I wasn't manipulating other people as much, and I was able to appreciate other people more, like my own kids. My own kids would express emotions, and I would, if it was painful emotions, I'd keep them at arm's length. That's actually cruel to do to another person. I didn't know I was doing it at the time, but once I became more aware of it and became honest about it, I just didn't fear it as much, and as a result, hopefully, you know, became a better father, a better husband.
Better father, better husband, and I think a better Christ follower as we begin to understand this. Yeah. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for being here.
Great conversation. Paul Cochran, The Dangers of Becoming a Christian Nice Guy. Great book, No More Christian Nice Guy. And Roger's going to tell you about it.
Absolutely, Jim. Actually, the book No More Christian Nice Guy and the book No More Christian Nice Girl make a very nice complementary pair of resources to have, especially if you've got kids and you're working through this issue of wanting to raise responsible adults instead of just happy or, dare I say, nice kids. Now, we recommend the book No More Christian Nice Guy by Paul Cochran and the book No More Christian Nice Girl by Paul Cochran and Dr. Jennifer Degler. You can find them wherever Christian books are sold. You can learn more about them at homeward.com. And when you check us out online, remember all the different resources that are available to you, not necessarily for your support, just because we've put them out there. You'll find all sorts of articles and tip sheets, and articles media section is very, very helpful, video clips and more at homeward.com. If you can support us financially right now, we would love to hear from you even today. You can give a gift online through our secure website at homeward.com. That's HOMEWORD.com. Or write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, where the swallows go. That's zip code 92693. Include a gift of $50 or $100 or even $200 or more in support of our ministry. We'd love to hear from you even today. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward from the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.